Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Make it make sense.
With Ayanda Nyati.
So, yeah, today we're going to talk about the small elephant in the room called electricity. I know, Komus was like, but we want to make it official. We must make Mr. Nyati work for his salary. So that's why he's here in the studio today. Why is electricity so expensive nowadays? And you guys know me, how I complained the other day when I bought electricity for, I think, 2,000 rand. And I was charged about 750 rand. It was a big thing for me.
Indeed. So, and now we're all suffering, as they say. Not really. But these are important bread and butter issues. And that's why I think the conversation is still very much relevant. We asked them the question today about why electricity is so expensive. And to help us answer some of those questions, let's bring in Chris Yelland. He's an energy expert and a very respected voice in the space and joins us now via our telephone line. Chris, it's lovely to have you on Kaya 959. Thanks very much indeed for joining us.
It's a great pleasure, and thanks for having me.
So let's start with, I suppose, the FAQs. What are some of the main contributing factors to these escalating electricity tariffs in the country?
Now, look, we've seen prices going up dramatically, and the interesting thing is that Eskom keep telling us, and by the way, municipalities do too, that the price of electricity is too low. It should be much higher. It's not cost-reflective, according to Eskom and municipalities, and they do these studies, they call them cost-of-supply studies, which according to them show that the price of electricity is too low, it's not adequately covering their costs. Of course, you know, the question arises, what are efficiently incurred costs and what are inefficiently incurred costs or costs that should be much lower because of their own poor performance, maybe poor procurement practices, the maladministration, and all these things. So there's a lot of things that are, I think, pushing up the price of electricity unnecessarily. So when you look at the cost structure, you have to separate out the costs that are what you might call prudently and efficiently incurred costs and those costs that are not prudently and efficiently incurred. And the job of the regulator, the electricity regulator, is to separate out these costs and only allow Eskom and municipalities' costs that are prudently and efficiently incurred. You may remember Eskom was asking for over a 30% increase, and the regulator gave them a 12.5%. In other words, they said all these other claims that you're making of costs that you need to recover, we're not going to allow that to be put in the tariff. But even a 12.5% increase, which is what we got this year, that is three times the inflation rate, actually nearly four times the inflation rate now. So it's still, the cost increases are still high, but they could have been a lot higher if the regulator hadn't been firm about this.
Has anybody done the maths about whether there'd even be a need for these increases if, for example, Eskom worked as it should?
Well, that actually gets to the heart of the function of the regulator. Their job is to critically analyze every cost line item in Eskom's pricing and municipalities' pricing and to decide which is going to be allowed to be passed through the tariff and which is not. And they have a mandate in law that they their job is to only allow efficiently and prudently incurred costs to pass through to the customer. Now, they have a bit of a difficult job on their hands. On the one hand, they have to look after the interests of the customers of electricity against these very powerful monopolies. I mean, municipalities are geographic monopolies in their area, and Eskom is a largely a monopoly in its areas of supply. So on the one hand, they have to protect the consumer from these powerful monopolies. But on the other hand, they've also got to ensure the sustainability of the Eskom business and the municipal business. Because if it is not sustainable and you push them hard, then they cannot deliver the services that they are supposed to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have this role of trying to balance the needs of the customer and the needs of the utility.
Right. I know that, I think it was yesterday, Eskom released a statement that one of their units has come back online sooner than expected. I think it's at Medupi. And essentially, I'm wondering whether, Chris, you reckon things can get any better from here on, you know? We're living in a context where there are fewer days of load shedding. Units, we're told, are coming back online sooner than expected. It feels like there's a whole lot more maintenance happening now than there was perhaps in the last decade. Can South Africa kind of hope for things to kind of stabilize over the next couple of years if this trajectory does continue?
Look, first, just to comment on that generator that came back into service yesterday, it is good news. Yes, they say it's come along, it's been returned to service 8 months earlier than planned. I don't quite buy that, because, in fact, it's been 4 years out of service. Sometimes these deadlines get moved and moved, but got to remember that unit has been out of service for close on 4 years now. So, okay, it is back. Thank goodness it's back, because it is going to help load shedding. It does relieve, the situation. And there's another unit that's being put into service at the moment. It's undergoing commissioning. That is Kusile Unit Number 6. And that is due to come on in the next weeks or months, quite shortly. And that's another 800 megawatts. That's going to be very helpful as well. So I think that the pressure of load shedding is going to reduce. We are in a situation where it has reduced already, and I think that's going to continue. We may experience some intermittent bouts of load shedding, as we have, but I don't think we're going to see that extended load shedding that we experienced in 2003. You're coming back anytime soon. Although in the longer term, I'm talking about 2030 and post 2030, there is a lot that has to be done. But to answer your question, there is no reason why, if we do the right thing, we should have load shedding. All the other countries in the world have solved this problem and do not experience 8 hours of load shedding a day. And there is absolutely no reason why South Africa should experience that level of load shedding. And I think we have got the message. There is a lot of work has been done, and the situation has improved. And there's no reason why we should revert to load shedding. None whatsoever if we do the right thing.
What's your impression on the Minister of Electricity, Dr. Kgosietsu Ramakgopa?
My view is, and I've said this before, that the previous Minister of the DMRE did not serve South Africa well in respect of electricity supply. And to be honest, I don't think he's serving South Africa well in terms of mining at the moment, minerals and mining and liquid fuels. His job was split in half. And the new Minister of Energy and Electricity was appointed because he was politically rewarded for doing his job well. I think he brought a new energy into the Department of Energy, and that was badly needed. And he was everywhere. He was on TV. He was talking to the media, having media briefings on a Sunday. He was visiting power stations and revving people up, motivating them, praising them when necessary, and generally getting them to commit and to make promises and to stick to their promises. And I think it made a difference. I don't think you can say it was all his, but I think leadership is very important. And that energy that he brought to the Department of Energy was very, very welcome, very refreshing, and he's been rewarded politically for his achievements.
All right, Chris Eland, we could never exhaust all the issues we could speak about, but hopefully it all makes sense for South Africans at the end. Chris Eland is an energy analyst. For your time, sir. Thanks very much indeed.
Share your voice note now.
063-688-0959. Why, guys, there's another case. We were talking about it earlier, and my colleagues were elevating in good going forward. Akseko Giza is about on song case your gazelle in the shin at the end of the day. Service gazil. Because, wow, the government is some free units like before. Because kanjani uthenge igesi ye 1000 rand and then uthola ama units with i 200 kanjani guys.
We need to be honest about the price of electricity. We are paying more because Eskom used a lot of money to build the new power stations. Now they are overburdened by the loans, so they have to cost them to us. That's why ugesi do not when they generate the electricity. The sad thing about electricity is like bread. Even the poorest of peasants pay the same price as the richest. person. So that is so true. That part.
So yesterday I went home to Soweto, Pimville. And not far from our house, our neighbors have extended. They've got extra rooms. But the funniest thing was seeing in that small space, there were 10 satellite dishes in that house.
Yeah.
10 satellite apartments and mid-rent. 10 satellite dishes in that small space.
Yeah.
Because initially, obviously, it was a four-bedroom house. So they got extra rooms. 10 dishes.
Sure. You know what? I'm listening to the voice notes, and we've been seeing electricity looking busy, Kupu. We have not done anything about it. And I remember getting electricity Yamahal. Dala, when you, I think, A14, Bengian electricity Yamahal. I don't know what happened to that. And after I stopped, no one started to ask questions. Are we going to be sitting and always complain about things, or are we going to do something as a band?
I also think as a community, we are not proactive. We can see electricity is really struggling. Not just us paying for it. The actual generation of energy is something that we're struggling with as a country. But I don't think even the people that have the ability or the means to try and source alternative power, whether half of your house is gas, the other is electricity, whether you are using these
solar panels,
rechargeable lights, you know, outside and inside. Because the big world star won't have the lights. And those are still lights that are from the actual grid and the actual power, where we could put in solar. I don't think we are thinking like that, so that should everything go haywire, you at least know that you have unburdened yourself in some parts as far as you can.
But also, I think one question that we, you know, outside just pointing finger at the authorities or ESCOM, is look at ourselves as well. Like I'm mentioning this house that has 10 dishes. Are they legally connected?
And have they upgraded?
That's my point.
Their house from being just one family to 10 families. If there's 10 dishes, it means that there's 10 different families living there. That means
there.
It's 10 different stoves.
10 different
kettles. It's a derby.
I'm trying to avoid it.
Get that.
I'm like trying.
There's 10 different things in one house.
Yeah, there's 10 different families.
Number TV, I-10.
Yeah.
Yo.
Yo, guys, I can't wait to hear. We'll see what the problem is. Yo, I have a sakoni pen. Salary to yonke sitting electricity, man.
Tinashole afunaka. Yo, ni esko, misaba bantabanga patali electricity. Tina sajelo, I would see a michini, good chinafness balande. Malanda bantu bachota bapatali. Esko mi eskawata. That's why electricity to ragach. This is what to ragach. Because they know which banunga patapa afunuk face are riding. Sire tina michini. Sabuza, but they were fetching as Balandi Lavant, Balandini. So, Tinova Sapata las Bala load reduction. I electric buffet, it's a contentious issue. It's with some crew, we're managing the things of Alala.
In the way, yes, you're naive. Natifuna Lova is like literally on a monthly basis, we spend around about 1,000 or 1,002 sometimes. Because Nana Machas is so con, I know, Anubanji, Anugali. Like on a good month, on Antola Ama units away 200 and something. And then on that month, you might find which you can get close to 190 something units. And Nakona made it last day the whole month. You need to turn it on. It's bad. Bad. In the way, Eskom na ifunalo wabanje kusasa.
Also, what's thing is that even some employees, people who work for, you know, what do they say in English? Bite the hand that feeds, right? Like, I come here, I work at Kaya, I get a salary, but I still steal stuff from the company.
Absolutely.
Not even thinking that, you know, maybe whatever it is that I'm doing, it will have a negative impact if the company shuts down and I'm unemployed. Mm-hmm. So last week in Pretoria, they arrested three Eskom employees for stealing transformers that are worth 7 million rand.
Shoo.
The employees, these are people who are paid by the company. So.
But it's also because the securing of energy has become a side hustle.
Yeah, of course.
So in the hoods or areas where people don't want to pay or even in the suburbia where people are bridging electricity and all of that, that security of electricity has now become a side hustle.
Yeah.
So even people that are well-skilled laborers in Eskom leave Eskom for this side hustle because it's far more lucrative.
Hmm.
So those people that have stolen the Transformers A3, they'll probably sell it in the black market. Yeah. And that person, Hayuyako Tembisa, Transformer Chile, Eskom is about Lumisabatlumisin. They are going to charge that community 500,000. The community will rally for 3 months. They'll raise that 500,000, pay for a new transformer. The transformer gets in, they have electricity. So the bigger, even bigger problem is the fact that there's a proper parallel barking people that work against Eskom, and most of them are ex-Eskom employees.
Yeah, that is crazy. Everything you said really makes sense, besides the part of the Lama Transformer about things that Timbis. Otherwise, really does make sense. The only part that doesn't really make sense is Lama Transformer. But hey, it's okay.
Share your voice note now.
063-688-0959. Yo, guys, no. Electricity is charging ridiculous tariffs now. We can't breathe. We cannot breathe. I pay 4,000 rand a month now on electricity. I just don't understand. My entire salary is just going to electricity. A lot. I know. Re-imagery, guys. Re-imagery. This is just a lot.
Me at my house, I'm using the city power, electricity, solar, and gas heaters. For the heaters and the cooking, especially on weekends, the cooking we do it on the gas. Because remember, weekend, they take forever to for the wood. So we use gas, what you call for that. And then the heaters, obviously gas. And then the lights outside is solar panels. Yeah, they are solar powered. Only the lights inside the house and your TVs. Yeah, that's city power. But now I'm looking at this power station or power bank or what. Yeah, I must just buy that because, hey, angibathembi, I don't trust them.
Talking about electricity, it's heartbreaking. The past Saturday, we received an SMS from Ekuruleni saying customers who've got meter numbers beginning with 17 or 18 on a tariff A residential for the first time will be debited for about 40.5 kilowatts or 126 rand. Which is basic for electricity. Guys, over and above, like it's happening for the very first time and apparently they're going to debit this on the 5th of every month. I feel that this is a daily robbery like Tembisa, because we're paying a lot.
Make it make sense.
With Ayanda Nyati. If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.